Seven Lessons on Appearance Learned in the United States Marine Corps. I was 23 years old and attending a wedding where I was a groomsman. It was at this event that I learned firsthand how the basic school had prepared me for more than just leading Marines. In a room with five other young men, I was the only one who knew how to properly wear black tie shirt studs, cufflinks, and the cummerbund. Needless to say, I gave a quick class and we all looked great that evening. Had we been in this situation just 1 year earlier, I too would have been at a loss as to what all the metal trinkets were for. So what happened to my sense of style in Quantico? Obviously, the lessons I learned from various hard-charging gunnery sergeants and detail-oriented officers had indirectly sharpened my understanding of civilian style and appearance. So why does style matter? The reason I put together this article, and one of the things I wanted to hit on, is I feel that there's a big issue with the idea that men who pay attention to personal appearance or take the time to dress sharp, somehow it's feminine. Somehow this is the domain of women. And that could not be farther from the truth. Because you look throughout history, the deadliest Roman gladiators, the most decorated soldiers, they always paid attention to their appearance, to their uniforms, to their details. Because when it comes down to it, these lessons, they're a small detail, but it shows that if you pay attention to this one aspect in your life, you're going to pay attention to other things. You're going to make sure, if one of the things we learned with our weapon is that you always clean it. And this is, you have to. When it comes with the M16, it was one of those weapons that if it's not properly cleaned, literally rust can build up very quickly. So you're constantly going through cleaning it, throwing in the CLP, making sure everything works. At least once a day. And if you were to go through, you were really getting into some pretty tough situations in terms of going underwater, going through mud. Anytime your weapon was exposed to something like that, you had to find time very quickly to immediately go through and clean it, and clean it quickly because you never knew when you were going to need it. So the purpose of this article, I want to cover seven lessons to style and appearance that I picked up while serving in the United States Marine Corps. Lesson number one, your personal presentation is important. So from day one, the power of what you wear is obvious in the military because in many ways it symbolizes who you are. The way military personnel greet and interact with each other is based off a rigid system of rank. Two men who have never met will pass each other by on the sidewalk, but both pay attention to the other and greet with a customary salute. The rule as to who initiates the salute and how it is performed are dictated by a set of century-old guidelines that ensure order under all types of conditions. So despite us living in a democracy where all are supposedly created equal, a less visible system of rank does exist in the civilian world. This ranking system is not based on a written set of rules, but rather an unwritten code of events that has over our lives shaped our behavior. So instead of quick decisions being based off of an insignia, snap judgments are made based off of the type of clothing you wear. By simply dressing sharp in a nice pair of slacks and a sports jacket, a man goes from being ignored as he enters a busy restaurant to immediately being helped and addressed as sir. Think about it. You pass somebody on the street and they look like a threat. Or you pass somebody on the street and they look like somebody that you want to meet. You're going to behave differently around them. And again, it's all visual. Very similar to what we, in the military, we at least spell it out and we lay it out there. In the rest of the world, it exists, and if you choose to ignore it, you're really shooting yourself in the foot if you decide to do that. Now, lesson two, it almost contradicts lesson one, but I'm going to explain this. Do not judge others based on their appearance. So when you work with military men and women, you have little to judge them on besides their performance and communication skills. You can easily spend a year working with another person and know nothing of how they dress in the civilian world, what kind of car they drive, or what they do with their free time. In many ways, it's a solid system, one that allows you to focus on the job and ignore factors that would, under normal circumstances, skew your perception. So you can imagine my surprise when I ran into one of my top performing Marines out. This was actually in Oceanside, California. And all of a sudden, the guy looked like he was dressed like a gang member. But I could tell that he paid attention. I mean, everything was clean, but he definitely was wearing the low-hanging pants and all of this other stuff that I kind of perceive with, well, back home, you know, it's like kind of the vato look. And I look at this, and it really challenged a lot of my preconceived notions, because up to this point, this young man, he was easily in the top 1% of his pay grade. And had I met him, though, through normal civilian channels, I would have formed the wrong opinion based simply off of the way he dresses and presents himself. So the thing here that I want to point out is that you realize that other people are probably judging you based off your appearance. But knowing this, you need to be better. You need to step it up and do your best not to judge others based off their appearance and to give everyone respect. And by doing that, you kind of transcend. I mean, we use style and I use it to my advantage, but I understand that most people, it's not something that they can consciously do. And I want you to take it to the next level and to not judge others based on their appearance. Lesson number 3, details define a man's style. Most people assume the strict uniform rules of the military stamp out any inklings of personal style. This is not the case. Rather, the strict confines of the military regulation uniform magnify the small details that can be personalized. Sunglasses, mustaches, haircuts, tattoos, and the degree to which your uniform is pressed and your boots are shined are all scrutinized. To an outsider, a platoon of soldiers may all look to the same. To a first sergeant, he'll look at the details of the gear and the presentation and be able to quickly pick out the hardcore and the good to go from the average performers. And he'll take special note on the ones who need some, let's just say, special attention. So I'm bringing this up because the same is true in civilian style, especially in corporate environments, where many men feel a company dress code eliminates individuality. This is just not true. I have yet to see a dress code that specifies fit and style requirements for suits or dress shirts. So even though you may be in an environment, AT&T corporate, where they, you know, it's very strict that you have to have this type of, you know, a clothing, they don't really ever specify about how it should fit you. And this is where you really can be yourself, where you can say, I'm going to take this and I'm going to run with it. And yes, I'm going to be wearing a suit, but that suit is not going to be wearing me. Instead, I'm going to get something that fits me perfectly, that every time I put that on, I get compliments, despite the fact that I'm basically wearing what everyone else is wearing. Lesson number 4, a respect for protocol. About once a month, I receive an email from somebody asking about black tie dress code situation. And what can they do to change it up? How, you know, can they wear a long tie, or can they wear, you know, a different colored jacket, or, you know, what exactly is formal? My answer is always the same. If the invitation calls for black tie, there is no room to negotiate. Now, there is actually one, you can actually have one area where you can deviate from it. But the point I'm trying to make here is you should have a respect for uniform. You should have a respect for protocol and history. Because at the end of the day, there is a host behind the event who is, he or she is spending a lot of time putting this on. And the idea, the whole reason they're wanting you to dress to the level that they're asking you to is so that you add a feeling, you know, a sense, it's about a sense of ambience. And whenever we come together as a group, to be able to create a feeling so that, you know, whether it be a ceremony, whether it be a parade, whether it be, you know, you're checking into a new duty station, there is a reason why you're asked to dress in a certain manner. I think a healthy respect for tradition and dress code does not take away from the individual nor seek to exclude. Rather, it's there to enrich important moments in our lives. Lesson number 5, always have your equipment ready. Making sure the women and men under your command are fully prepared and ready for deployment is the focus of a peacetime military leader. As such, scheduled and unscheduled inspections ensure units of 10 to 10,000 are ready to go within hours of being called up. For those who haven't been through one, an inspection ranges from a simple uniform check by a squad leader to an entire battalion being looked over by the first sergeant and CO over a period of hours to ensure combat readiness. Although I haven't gone through a white glove inspection for over a decade, I still ensure my wardrobe is prepared for any opportunity or challenge that may come my way. Shoes are always put away, polished. Shirts are put away, ironed. And all of my accessories are placed in a location, unless my kids find them, that they're easily found. Proper preparation takes time and discipline. The payoff is when you need to be dressed quickly and you need to be dressed sharp, you can make it happen. And you're not the guy, you know, trying to iron everything at the last moment, looking for where his cufflinks are at, or going and finding that your shoes, the ones you're wearing that you thought were shined, are actually scuffed. Lesson number 6, our appearance and behavior reflects on our associations. Pulling into a foreign port, the big worry on the mind of unit leaders is that some yahoo under their command is going to cause an international incident. If one Marine or sailor screws up, the whole ship, the whole U.S. military, receives a black eye. For this very reason, it is stressed time and time again to every military man leaving their post or ship, although you're not wearing a uniform, you still represent the military in the eyes of others. As men, our appearance and behavior reflects not only us, but our entire family and the organizations we are closely associated with. Are you a student council member? Then know the actions you take or fail to take in the classroom and off campus reflect upon not only you, but the whole council. If you like to go to the bar afterwards, or you want to go out and get a whole bunch to drink, you want to get drunk with your friends, you need to be careful, because it's not just about you. When you go out there and you get trashed and you get carried back, home to your door, it's not so much, yeah, you may have had a great time, but if you have aspirations, if you're part of, a local council that is held to a higher standard, you need to realize that it is reflected upon the groups you're a part of. I used to be the guy, I think, that went out and had a great time. And maybe that's okay when you're a bit younger and you're not closely associated to people who are a bit more forgiving. But I can tell you now that I'm a father of three, I'm a proud husband, and I look at everything that I have going for me, and I'm much more careful about when I go out, because I know that people, whether I like it or not, they form opinions, and I represent my family. Lesson number 7, appreciate your history. Ask any U.S. Marine what the Eagle, Globe, and Anchor stands for, and be prepared for a history lesson. We're going to tell you, and we're going to be prideful, and we're going to be very excited about it, because this is something that we're proud to, to wear that. It's a big deal, the EG&A. Just ask any corpsman about, some of the controversy that goes on about whether or not they can even wear this. And I'm not going to take sides there. But in any case, it's one of those things that every part of the military uniform oftentimes has a history. I mean, look at the top of a covers, the top of an officer's cover. It's called the quarterfoil. There's a little cross up there. There's a reason for that. Look at the blood stripe on a corporal's trouser. There's a reason a lance corporal does not have he's not allowed to wear that when a corporal is. So all of these things, they're here. So why focus on such tradition? Because having a strong history and tradition gives a man the strength to move forward when he is unsure. He knows he can wear a flower in his lapel, not because he saw it in the latest issue of Maxim, but because he knows French soldiers and American soldiers wore them in their lapels as they headed off to combat. He doesn't try to fit into the latest pair of designer jeans to look younger or hip. Instead, he realizes the clothing he wears should be timeless and complement, not detract from, his personal style. An appreciation of the past gives you the fortitude to resist fashion and embrace timeless classic style. All right, that summarizes this section on the 7 tips I learned in the United States Marine Corps.